The Alphabet of Manliness is the best-selling book by one of the founding fathers of fratire, Maddox. Maddox talked to Steve Paulson about this new literary genre.
The conventional wisdom in literature, in the publishing industry, actually, is that men don't buy books. And there's a pretty good reason for that, and it's because they don't publish very many books that men are interested in. In fact, before my book came out, the only other book that kind of addressed this topic and this audience was a book written in 1998 by the Hoffman brothers called The Big Damn Book of Sheer Manliness. And I think 8 years is an awfully long time to go without any other major publications that address this audience.
How would you describe
this audience for what you describe as manliness?
Well, until I went out and actually did my book tour, I had no idea what the majority of my fans looked like. And it turns out that they are people who play video games. The average age, I would say, is early 20s, you know, some college. People who work regular jobs, but they're not too invested in their jobs. Like people like me when I was working at my old job.
Now, are these all guys who read you?
About 40% of my readership is women, surprisingly, because a lot of my writing is very misogynistic. But I think the women who read it know that it's tongue-in-cheek, and they get the humor. They're smart. Of course, I have a large percentage of women and men, actually, who read my website and get very offended by it and send me hate mail, which makes for some of the best reading on my website.
So you deliberately court this kind of hate mail, and you're not shy about saying that there's a lot of women hating in what you write.
Sure, yeah, and sometimes I get asked about that. Specifically, I did an interview a little while back, I think, with Salon, and they asked me why it's okay to make fun of women in this book as opposed to races. But there are a lot of different categories of people I make fun of in this book, specifically children and old people, anorexic people, people with attention deficit disorder, and other men, in fact. And I think it's a little bit sexist, frankly, to just single out women as not being okay to make fun of.
Well, just to give people a taste of what you've done in this book, The Alphabet of Manliness, you've arranged it in chapter order. A is for ass-kicking, B, boner, C is for copping a feel, D, dump, taking a, E, enlightenment, F, female wrestling. I guess not exactly very highbrow here, is it?
No, this is the type of book I think that, well, I thought when I was writing it, I wanted to cast a very large net to catch as many people, and I think this is probably the way to do it. It's not necessarily the book I would have written if I could have written any book, but I knew this type of book would have been a commercial success, because essentially an alphabet is a list, and people love reading lists. If you've ever been to a website like dig.com, almost every single article on there is top 10 something.
Your writing, along with the writing of some other people like Tucker Max, has been described as fratire. What do you make of that label?
I don't like it, and Tucker doesn't like it at all. Neither of us were in frats in college. In fact, I think I'm pretty much the type of guy I would have been bullied by some of the frat guys. But I guess this type of writing and this genre needed a label, and it stuck.
Mm-hmm. Now, you seem to take deliberate delight in not being PC, not being sensitive or genteel or anything like that. Did you just get bored with that kind of stuff? Do you just reject that out of hand?
That has something to do with it, but I never write anything to be shocking just for the sake of being shocking. It's really easy to be shocking. You can say something that's very offensive, but there's a kernel of truth in the things that I say, which makes it a little bit more compelling than just coming out and saying something offensive. Like, for example, in my book, in the Enlightenment section, I was kind of joking around when I was writing that chapter about how there are no female inventions, and then actually did some research, and I thought, maybe I should back this up, and I found that there were very, very few female inventors or female inventions that were created by females, and so that kind of adds an edge to it. It's not just that I'm being misogynistic here, but I am kind of addressing this great lapse in female inventors.
How do you explain that? Because, I mean, women are just treated as, you know, as sex objects, as, you know, you got to push them around, you know, they're irritating and all that. Why would 40% of your readers be women?
Well, I think they're okay with it because the truth is that women have a lot of power in society. I know there's still a lot of, you know, there's still a ways to go for equality. But if you look at statistics in college, women are dominating men almost 2-to-1 in a lot of campuses. With degrees, women are getting more and more competitive pay. And also, women love to cite statistics like women make only 70 cents to the dollar that every man makes. But I did some research about that, and it's really hard to find where that study came from. The closest I found was a women's group who sponsored the study, but you don't find any details about that study. And I was thinking about it. If that were true, then why wouldn't employers overwhelmingly hire women if they could simply pay them less? Because obviously a lot of corporations are willing to break the law and hire illegal immigrants for the sake of paying them less. So why not women?
So you're suggesting that a lot of your female readers agree with your social commentary?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek, but also it's not so offensive because women are stronger. It's like making a racial joke about whites as opposed to any other ethnicity or minority group that might be marginalized in society. The stronger that group becomes, the more acceptable it becomes to make fun of them.
Now, obviously, a lot of this is tongue-in-cheek. Satire, I guess, would be the obvious phrase to describe your writing.
Sure.
But I'm guessing there are a number of people who would sort of take this more literally. I mean, do you worry about some of these guys who would actually agree with all the things you're saying?
Yeah, actually, there have been a couple. There was someone who came to me on my book tour who said that his friend was reading the book in a classroom and the teacher asked him to put it away. And he said he refused to put it away and the teacher asked him again and I guess he threw it at her or something like that. He ended up going to some kind of juvenile court or something like that. Yeah, there are those people, but I'm not too worried about that because they're the same people who are going to be inspired by a slasher film to go out and kill somebody. I mean, these are very few, very far between.
Now, I'd like to get another taste of your book. And frankly, there are a number of chapters that I can't even ask you to read because I don't think it would work very well on the radio. But you do have J is for Beef Jerky. Could you read the beginning of that?
Sure. If someone invented a way to package sex and put it straight into your mouth, it would taste like beef jerky. When I was 6 years old, friends and family were shocked when I woke up one day and had a full-grown beard. My voice was deeper, my hands were calloused, and my balls dangled like pendulums. Doctors diagnosed me with precarious puberty, a condition that causes the early onset of puberty. Nobody knew why I was afflicted with this abnormality until they finally traced it to a manliness gene triggered by the manliest food in the universe, beef jerky. If there is a food out there that's manlier than strips of flesh ripped from an animal's ribs, cured, smoked, and flavored so it can be slammed down the throats of hungry construction workers, I'd like to know what it is.
And how far do you think this whole sensibility, and particularly this kind of writing, can go in our culture? Are we just seeing the beginning of it?
I think so. You're seeing just the beginning of it, but it's probably not going to last for more than about 10 years because, like old trends, they go away eventually. And in a way, I think this is a backlash to metrosexualism and how cool it's been, really, to be androgynous in a way in our society. There's not really that strong voice of manliness that existed in our fathers' generations. Like my dad, for example, we went fishing one time and he caught a fish and he didn't have anything to gut it with, so he bit the fish's guts out, which is just ultra manly. And his hands are just calloused and gross and rough. And my hands are comparatively pretty smooth because all I do is type. My dad works with metal and chainsaws and wood, and I work with plastic and monitors.
You're saying he bit the guts out?
Yeah, he bit the fish's guts and spit it out.
So that's the kind of guy that you look up to?
Well, it's a kind of guy that doesn't really exist very much anymore. A lot of people work with computers in cubicles, and that type of man is disappearing. So it's kind of a callback to our father's generations.
Now, I read somewhere that you actually started out writing your blog when you're living in your parents' basement in Utah. What do they think of what you're doing?
The first time my mom read my website, she cried. There's actually a quote on the back of my book. It's an actual quote from my mom. She says, "I didn't raise you like this. Why are you like this? Your father's not like this either. This is terrible." So my mom wasn't actually, when I told my mom that I got a book deal, the first thing she told me was to go back to school and get a real job.
Maddox is the author of The Alphabet of Manliness. He spoke with Steve Paulson.